Thank you for downloading the latest podcast from the Center for European Studies at Carleton University in Ottawa. The interviewees were in conversation with Anka Gurzu. For terms of use, please visit our website at www.carleton.ca/CES.
My name is Robert Gould. I'm an adjunct research professor in the Institute for European, Russian and Eurasian Studies and also in the School of Linguistics and Language Studies. I continue as a member of the Center for European Studies.
Much of your research throughout the years has been focused on language identity, and language is a very important part of European identity as well. How is this related to multiculturalism?
What I have been looking at for the last 15 years is the way politicians and political parties, in their public on-the-record statements, have been talking about national identity and the position of immigrants or minorities in their respective countries. And this language that the politicians use is extremely important and central to the image which they wish to project of both the country and the minorities and immigrants who live in the country.
Parts of your research, I know, have also been focused on a national identity as related to language in Ireland and Latvia. I'm wondering whether you could briefly explain some of the issues that you were looking at.
The situation in Ireland is that Irish is the national language of the country, and it is a very significant marker of Irish identity. In Latvia, Latvian is the only official language, although 30% of the population of the country is Russian-speaking. There has been an attempt to make Russian an official language. The referendum to do that failed completely, as 73% of the voters were opposed to it. The other side of the coin is the increasing knowledge of Latvian by people who are ethnic Russians. This means they're seeing Latvian as a legitimate language.
Some of these issues you were talking about, both in Ireland and in Latvia, were concentrated at the national level. The European institutions or European principles play any role in influencing the way things turned out at the national level in these member states?
The Good Friday Agreement brought a normalization of the situation in Northern Ireland. Within the Good Friday Agreements, there are embodied many of the European principles. Above all, respect for minorities, ethnic or religious, and making sure that minorities have legitimate political representation. Within Latvia, the accession negotiations were carried out under the Copenhagen criteria, which part of the fulfillment of them was respect for minorities. And it has been argued that the implementation of the European principles before accession in Latvia meant there was no breakdown of civil order. So I am arguing that the implementation of the European principles was in that case extremely effective.
You make a very interesting point when one thinks about some of the countries that are interested in joining the European Union in the future. Some of them do have strong minorities within their territory and different languages that are used. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on some of the dynamics that can be developed in the following years as they're trying to join, and whether European principles can play a role there as well.
I think in the negotiation processes which led up to, for example, the 2004 and the 2007 accessions, that Brussels gained a great deal of experience in negotiating on these very difficult issues. Consequently, I would conclude that Brussels is in a position of experience and therefore more likely to achieve accommodations which will contribute to significant social peace. in future member states.
Thank you.
Thank you.